The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your servant who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink'? Do you thank the servant for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
The psalmist said this morning, "Commit your way to the Lord and put your trust in him, and he will bring it to pass. He will make your righteousness as clear as the light and your just dealing as the noonday." Please be seated. First of all, I knew this song was coming, but I had never sung it before. It may become my favorite song, but you'll hear it echoed in my sermon, and I can only tell you that's because of the Holy Spirit, which gives me goosebumps. So the other phrase I want to bring out today, because it has just rung so true at both the other services, is in the psalm, we were told three times to not fret ourselves. I don't know about you, but I heard my mother tell me, "Stop fretting so much, Susan. Fretting," it says in the gospel, "only brings us to evil." Now, you can switch it to worry, but I kind of like the word fretting. Just keep that in mind. So, he will make your righteousness as clear as the light and your just dealing as the noonday. So, as I have done before, I want to ask all of the righteous here to raise their hands. Okay, the most righteous service we have at this point are the 8 o'clockers. You and the 5 o'clock, not so much. So I have to tell you that if you're not willing, I don't get why you're not willing to actually claim your righteousness as your own, as faithful people of God. And the reason I'm concerned about that is because if you don't, you won't maybe recognize the wisdom of these readings this morning. Because you're making a judgment about yourself that actually separates you from your identity and responsibility as faithful Christians. Each one of us has to believe ourselves to be part of the righteous community committed to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And that psalm, that's talking to you. He will make you. God will make your righteousness as clear as the light and your just dealings as the noonday. If you look up the word righteous in the dictionary, in the list of synonyms, the first one in capital letters when I looked it up was good. How many good people do we have here this morning? Yeah. All right, now, how many righteous people do we have here this morning? So the antonym was sinful. And you know what? We are sinners in God's sight. We all are all sinners. But we choose to be good over sinful, I would hope. Each day we wake up and we choose life, and each day we choose good rather than sinful. We choose a righteous life, and therefore we are God's righteous. And God asks nothing more from us. And then God sends grace to highlight the best of our daily moments. Not the worst, the best. That's good news. In the other Hebrew scripture that was an alternate reading from Lamentations this morning, this line was in there. God's mercy never comes to an end. They are new every morning. Great is God's faithfulness. All of our readings today are about faithfulness. And that's what you need to think about right beside being righteous. I don't know how that word got such a bad name. Now, I don't want anybody here to be self-righteous. That's just not fun. But righteousness is something else. It's a holy way of being in your life, of being faithful. And in each one of us has promised in our baptismal promises to be and share the light of Christ. It's part of being a righteous person. And our baptismal promises lead us into a community of faith right here. And as I told the 8 o'clockers and the 5 o'clockers, we are all part of the same community of faith. We are as interdependent with them as they are on us. It's a place where we belong, where we have extended family. And I really don't think you really understand righteousness and how to be righteous apart from a community of faith, quite frankly. I mean, we can have righteous moments all by ourselves, but the fact that we live our life in community. And so you may have more righteous communities, but this is the one where we come to for our faith. And we all started someplace, some small beginning that has led us to where we are in our faith at this point today. Our faith is grounded in the faith of others and the graceful interdependence of life. In his book, No Future Without Forgiveness, Bishop Desmond Tutu defines the practice of Ubuntu in the following manner. He says, Ubuntu speaks of the very essence of being human. We say, hey, so-and-so has Ubuntu. And what we mean is that you are generous, you are hospitable, you are friendly and caring and compassionate. You share what you have. It is to say, my humanity is caught up, is inextricably bound up in yours. We belong in this bundle of humanity. We say a person is a person through other persons. A person with Ubuntu is open and available to others, affirming of others, does not feel threatened that others are able and good, for he or she has a proper self-assurance that comes from knowing that he or she belongs in a greater whole and is diminished when others are humiliated or diminished, when others are tortured or oppressed, or treated as if they were less than who they are. Righteousness is a part of the practice of Ubuntu. So this song, Christ Be Our Light, goes just like that with our theme for our annual appeal this year, which begins today and will run through November 17th, which is Give Thanks Sunday. And our theme is Shining Our Light, Our Light. And in some ways, that's talking about us as individuals, in terms of what we share, of our time and our talent and our money. But without all the rest of these people, it wouldn't be as meaningful. Without claiming your righteousness, you would not be talking about giving to God from your faith. And we all have small beginnings in those choices about how to give back to God through our time, talent, and money. Those small beginnings that we started with, how many can remember the first time they filled out a pledge card? Yeah, that first time is just amazing. There's no other one like it. And then they start building, 1 year after another. Sometimes they're good years, and sometimes they're not so good years. That's okay. Making that commitment is what matters to God, not how much the commitment is. And those small beginnings grow and change every single year, because God continues to shine Christ's light on us in order for us to understand how we are meant to grow and change in our faith. Being a good steward of all that God gives us, shining our light, is part of the choices we make to lead a righteous life following Jesus. It deepens our faith through our generosity and compassion. And we make sacrifices through that. We make sacrifices. What Paul, or whoever wrote the letter to Timothy this morning, actually was talking about when he mentioned suffering. We make sacrifices, living more simply so that others may simply live. We help the kingdom of God grow. We become a community committed to the practice of Ubuntu. And as our scripture guides us forward, we are always in the need of deepening our faith. And as Jesus shows this morning in the gospel, we don't need to stockpile faith. We don't need to increase our faith, especially at the same level. What we need to do is dive deep into it and deepen our faith, because we can take even the smallest amount of faith on any given day, and we can use it as our guiding light. No matter how small your faith is in any given day, and sometimes it's huge and sometimes it's barely there and we're just hanging on, but that is enough faith to guide us. Small beginnings lead to big results. And we begin with the ordinary and leave the extraordinary to God. Even in the tough times, the waiting times, we're actively paying attention, as the prophet this morning said, in our chosen watchtowers. I call mine my prayer corner, but watchtower sounds good to me. It says that I can see off into a future or a vision that I might need to write down, because I'm going to be, just as the prophet was, relentlessly confident in God's love for all of us and through all of us, because this is where I belong. And we, like Timothy, well, we need reminders of who God is and who we are as a family of God. And so I thank the letter to the second letter to Timothy for that reminder. And we are to guard the good treasure given to us, in us, and unleash it in all of our ordinary moments between this Sunday and next Sunday. That is the cost of discipleship. And in this season, where all of our trees, although they're not quite as brilliant as they are if you go farther up 91, I will tell you, but it's coming. Where trees capture our attention, I offer you this wisdom from Mary Oliver as I close out this sermon. When I am among the trees, especially the willows and the honey locust, equally the beech and the oaks and the pines, they give off such hints of gladness. I would almost say that they save me daily. I'm so distant from the hope of myself, in which I have goodness and discernment and never hurry through the world, but walk slowly and bow often. Around me, the trees stir in their leaves and call out, "Stay a while." The light flows through the branches, and they call again. "It's simple," they say. "And you too have come into the world to do this, to go easy, to be filled with light, and to shine." That's what St. Andrew's Community of Faith is about right now. It's about shining and maybe a little polishing, because you have a very important welcome coming forward for you. Amen.